everyone and namaste. Thank you for coming back and listening to our second episode of Be Happy and Achieve Your Goals. There is only one person that will never leave you. That person was born with you, lived with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And one day will die with you as well. This person is loyal to you. This person will never abandon you. And yet, you don't believe in that person. You may have a clue of who I'm talking about, but in case you haven't figured it out yet, that person is yourself. We all go around putting our trust, our hopes and happiness in other people's hands. People that in one way or another eventually will let us down. Yet, we don't trust in the most important person we have in our lives. When was the last time you looked at yourself in the mirror and felt proud of yourself? When was the last time you looked at yourself in the mirror and felt that you can achieve anything you want to achieve? If you do this on a regular basis and you feel that you're proud of yourself and that you can achieve whatever you want, you probably don't need to listen to this podcast, but anyways, you are more than welcome to listen to it. In the Hindu and Buddhist tradition, life happens in our head. That means that whatever you perceive to be the truth, that is reality. That means that if you see yourself as a winner, you are a winner. But if you see yourself as a loser, that's what you are. If you see yourself as not having the tools or required abilities to succeed in life, then you will be sitting in the sidelines forever because you think you are not armed with the tools you need. You will never take any risks, and it is a fact that those who don't risk are doomed to live in a life well below their potentials. Life is nothing but a big illusion. You believe you are one thing and people perceive you in another way. We go through life loving and wanting to be liked by other people without taking a moment to value and get to know the closest person we have, ourselves. We don't take a moment to get to know us. Few of us make an inventory of our faults and our virtues. Do you really know who you are? Do you love yourself? Do you even accept yourself? If you don't like yourself, how do you expect others will like you? If you don't love yourself, how do you expect to love and to be loved by others? Jesus said himself, love others as you love yourself. Even though this commandment was attributed to Jesus in many Christian traditions, this commandment is in several books of the Bible. You can find it in Romans, in Galatians, and Leviticus. So love God first, then love yourself, and then love others. You must be in tune with yourself to get closer to God and to others. Especially in this age of the Facebook and Instagram, where many people live an online fantasy and make others want to live that fictitious life. I remember years ago when I was in college, I met this girl who used to be at the time a Facebook figure. Every time I logged into Facebook, this was a way before we had apps in our cell phones and internet and all of that. And I remember every time I went into Facebook, she was at the beach or a restaurant or partying with friends or in a luxury apartment, riding in luxury cars and boats and living the life of a millionaire. And to my advantage or disadvantage, I've been blessed with this ability to pay attention to details. And since the beginning, when I started to see her posts and stuff, I started to believe that there was something fishy in this in her life. Sometimes she posted that she was at the beach, but I just saw her like 20 minutes ago on campus. So I was like, how did she do that? But well, and one day I was having lunch and she came and she sat next to me and she started to talk to me about classes and how the semester was going and so on and so forth. And while we were talking, I asked her, like, let me ask you something. Are you Padre Pio of Pietrelcina? Padre Pio is a Catholic monk, a from the Capuchin Order that was attributed to have this ability to bilocation. It could be in two places at the same time. And so she laughed and she said, like, "No, Arnaldo, I just have a lot of content." I was like surprised and taken aback, like, "Content? Like, what do you mean by that?" And so she explained to me that every time she had a chance to go to the beach, for example, she would take a couple of bathing suits and different sunglasses and hats, and it would be like a production. She would be taking pictures in different poses in different places, and then she will save those pictures. Same thing when she went to a party, she would take shoes and she will take pictures and make sure that the camera was not capturing her clothes, or she would stand behind people so people wouldn't see that she was wearing the same clothes. And I was surprised how she would take time to do these kind of things to show people that a life that she was not living. But I wasn't judgmental. And then she kept talking to me, and she went on to explain that she had this depression. She was clinically depressed all the time, and whenever she had a chance and she could do something like this or go out or something like that, she will take advantage of that and have already something to post to Facebook. And I remember one semester later, I think it was, we took some classes together, and one of the classes required that students teamed up and did a presentation. And so she asked me to be in her group, and one day she invited us, all of us. We were like two other guys, and she invited us to go to her house and get ready for the presentation. And I remember when I entered the apartment, I was like surprised. I was in shock. I was surprised to see the conditions that she was living in. It was the total opposite of the type of life she was pretended to be living online. The apartment was a mess. There was clothes laying everywhere. The kitchen looked like a bomb had gone off. My friend was living a double life. One life was this life desired by everybody, envied by thousands of people that were following her on Facebook. And then her real life was a mess, like a life that nobody would have wanted to live. So way before the Instagram and the era of the influencers and the internet, many people were already creating this fantasy world, but then now social media make it easier. So next time you're sitting in your office and see one of these people having the time of their lives and in Facebook or Instagram, stop for a moment and think that chances are that he or she is not living a life as exciting as she's trying to portray. It is my experience that the majority of people that live a very exciting life are so focused on enjoying each second of the experience that they don't care about documenting the experience and sharing it with the rest of the world. So teenagers out there, that girl that you are seeing in the makeup tutorials with the perfect face and all of that, she's a human too, and chances are that she has acne like you do, and she has imperfections on her skin. She will have a bad hair day like you do, and in the same way, those skinny girls that you see floating Instagram with pictures and in swimming suits and you know, showing her body, she's not better than you are. Every single human being is beautiful in their own way. Chances are that she has imperfections too. Chances are that that body was created by extreme dieting, surgeries, and doing God knows what else. And let me tell you, there is something called time that takes away that physical beauty. So for instance, look at your grandma. I'm sure she's very pretty. She's beautiful. She's your grandma. But now, she's beautiful in a different way, not in the same way that she was when she was 15 or 20 years old. So we desire other people's lives and experiences because we are hardly content with who we are. We are always criticizing, wishing we could be someone else, and that is because we do not believe that we are good enough to have what the other have, or to be creative enough to have our own experiences, especially when the people surrounding you are not encouraging either. So I remember when I was about 12 or 13 years old, I started to tell my family how one day I was going to become a professional and be a very important person. And I remember how my grandmother used to tell me, boy, stop daydreaming. This is not the way it is. We're normal people. Nobody in my family has gone to the university or become an important person. So how do you think a 12 years old kid will feel when the people around him do not believe that he can achieve his dreams? At a very early age, I learned the meaning of Jesus's words, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his kin. My grandmother is an exceptional woman. She always loved me and was very instrumental in forming my Catholic faith. And she used to take me to Mass every Sunday. And I'm sure she did not meant to destroy my self-esteem or to make me feel inferior. Those comments came from a place of love and protection. And at the time I thought, like, how can this be possible? Out of everybody, she should be being the principal person cheering me up and you know, encouraging me to follow my dreams. But skepticism was shared by the rest of my family, with the exception of my parents, who have always been very supportive of all my ideas and my crazy things. But unfortunately, we give more weight to the negative opinions than to the positive ones. And it is interesting how when we get a positive compliment, we forget within a couple of hours that compliment. But if we get criticized or receive a bad report, we carry that for a long, long time. And I realized this years ago when I was in law school. I moved to another city in northern Florida. I attended a small school where I was one of the few Hispanics whose English was their second language. So most of my classmates were Americans, like born and raised and from northern Florida or the southern part of Georgia. So I remember the first time I walked into the school, it was a cold January afternoon, and I felt so small and inadequate. Even though I graduated cum laude from FIU, I did not feel smart enough to be there. There was always my grandma's voice playing in the background, like, what are you doing here? You're not enough to be here. And in law school, they teach by using the Socratic method. So if you are not familiar with that, that's basically the professor calling your name. And according to their theory, you are supposed to learn by them asking you questions. I remember praying every morning to God not to be called by one of the professors. I did not want to be embarrassed in front of, you know, all those people. And sometimes I felt that it was nothing but God's goodness that got me into law school. Many times at 9, I would think this was just God giving me a taste of how law school feels. I did not think I was going to finish even the first semester. It was super hard. I studied so hard, I gave my all, but my grades were not even close to what I was used to. I was sure that I was going that was not going to work out. But I never dared to speak it, as in our last episode. I've been always careful with the words that come out of my mouth. I really believe that words have power, and if you speak defeat, you'll be defeated. And I remember after the first semester was over, I went back home in South Florida for 2 weeks. And those 2 weeks were horrible. I was waiting to get the grades on the exams that I did. And I was almost ready to go back to Jacksonville and get my things and get back home. But to my surprise, when I went back, I had passed all the classes. And it was more surprising when I saw some of the people that I thought that were really, really smart. And I'm sure they are. But they were not able to go through the first semester. And after I saw this, something in me changed. And I realized that I was there for a reason and that I had the capacity to do it and to graduate from law school. And I did. 2.5 years later, I was walking the aisle to get my diploma. So I felt I was living the life God created me to live. I also realized that all this negativity was in my head. At no time I was rejected or mocked by any of my classmates. To the contrary, many of them were very welcoming and supportive, and I never had an issue with either my classmates or professors. So sometimes we go through life feeling this feeling of inadequacy, feeling that we are not worthy or you're not good enough to receive these good things we are experiencing. And that feeling of inadequacy gradually transforms into fear. And fear is the biggest obstacle we can find our road to success. We must be very careful and not allow ourselves to become an obstacle in our way to success. The best way to accomplish this is to love ourselves and be mindful that we all have a set of skills or a genetic predisposition or certain character traits, or we go through a situation that will help us achieve our goals. Those are not random elements or events in our lives. What we call luck or random events, those are God-given tools. So take advantage and use them. However, a lot of times we see those elements as a disadvantage rather than an advantage. The way we were created by God is that when we lack in one area, another area develops to compensate. We should seek all those things we do not like about ourselves and turn them into an asset. If you are overweight, start going to the gym. Maybe you will meet your future spouse or a business partner. If you are afraid of speaking in public, seek help. And when you get over it, mentor others in the same situation. Do not let what you dislike about yourself become a disability. You are special. Just the fact that you were born is a gift from God. In the United States alone, according to the Centers of Disease Control, the CDC, in 1980, there were over 1 million abortions. And in 2014, there were over 500,000 legal abortions in the United States. So if you were born during the 1980s, you were at a big risk of not even being born. So if your mother and God were kind enough to allow you to come into this world, honor that gift by respecting and loving yourself. That complex of inferiority will bring you nothing but suffering. Don't wish you were like someone else. You are attaching yourself to a personality that isn't yours. The worst mistake we can do is to want to be someone else. In a way, you are trying to be smarter than God and critical of God. Every time we think or say, "We wish I was another person," we are basically saying to God, "Hey, you got it wrong. I should have been taller, I should have been skinnier, I should have been darker, my eyes should have been lighter, I should have been born in the United States, I should have been born in Europe, I should have been the son of a billionaire." Every time we complain, we are criticizing God's creation. I'm not saying that we should wrap ourselves in our own cocoons and feel we are right and we are the best, and the rest of the universe is going crazy. It is good to look up to other people as a source of inspiration, but without wanting to be that person. What is a blessing to some people, it is a curse to others. We often only see the successful outcomes, and we do not bother to look into the journey. Unless a person is born into a rich family, chances are that he or she worked very, very hard to achieve what she has. Success doesn't come easy. You have to work to get it. Are you willing to work that hard? Are you strong enough to go through every heartache and disappointment? If you are willing and able to go through it, then you have the same chance and capacity that person that you admire has. Achieve your goals being yourself. You will always find opposition and people that do not like you for no reason. It is important to keep your identity and embrace it. If you don't love and respect yourself, then you will be uncomfortable. When I was younger, as many teenagers, I used to try to act like the cool guys and imitate others in an effort to hide what I thought were deficiencies on me. But my mother always told me, el que imita, fracasa. He who imitates others will fail. For some reason, being a failure has always been something that terrifies me, or that used to terrify me. My mother drilled that phrase into my mind. She created that sense of identity in me. I hope this phrase have in your life the same impact it had on mine. Thank you again for tuning in, and I hope you join in the next episode. Until then, push through and be kind to others. God bless you.